Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning? Everybody's good. Welcome to Jenkins Church. It is the first Sunday in February, February 3rd. Today will be our Communion Sunday. First order of worship. Stand up and greet your neighbor. Tell everyone hello. Good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay. Also, the youth are right after Sunday school. Mr. Tommy is cooking for us, so we're doing a pre-Super Bowl, whatever you want to call it. Since we don't have a TV here, we can't actually watch the Super Bowl here, but after church we're going to do a pre-Super Bowl party and then disperse the kids home. So that'll be in lieu of our meeting tonight. Okay, any praise or prayer requests?
Prayer requests.
Go ahead. Anyone else? Allie? There's family. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Our call to worship this morning is in the bulletin. It comes from Psalms 99, verses 1, 2, 3, 5, and 9, and it is responsive. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sets enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God. And worship at his footstool. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
And this morning we're going to march to Zion. Stand with me as we sing verses, let's sing number 1 and 4. Stand with me this morning. Page 555.
We have all the Lord and love.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we think of Zion, as we think of heaven, we pray that you would keep our eyes focused on Jesus and His place in heaven, that we might go and be around the throne where you sit with Him, and Lord, that we could just anticipate heavenly worship, heavenly experience. Such a mystery, but we're trusting it to you. While we look to heaven, Lord, help us to have some balance to our thinking and our focus, and not forget the needs around us. You have called us, you have sent us to minister in your name, and you have called us especially to bear witness of Jesus in the hope of heaven. Thank you. Help Lord, us to be faithful to our calling. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this sacrament where we can remember how much you love us. And Lord, we pray for this hour to be an hour that would bring glory to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, praying even as He taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and let us express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life. In our service, when we come to the throne of God to confess our sins, doing that knowing fully that if we confess with our heart, we will be forgiven. Our call to confession comes from 1 John 2, verses 1 through 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. Our prayer of confession. Please say it with me. God of glory, you sent Jesus among us as the light of the world to reveal your love for all people. We confess that our sin and pride, hide the brightness of your light.
We turn away from the poor.
We ignore crimes and justice.
We do not strive for peace.
In your mercy, cleanse us of our sins and baptize us once again with your Spirit, that forgiven and renewed, we may show forth your glory, shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness this morning comes from Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool.
So turn your hymnals to 493. One of the best songs I think was ever written is this one. Let's sing the first and the third verse together.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, uplift of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the
sing that verse again. I am so excited that it is well with my soul. And I'm glad that not just a part of my sins, but the whole package, He's forgiven. So I could sing this verse, but I really would like to sing this verse with you. So let's sing this verse one more time. Verse 3.
My sin, oh,
offertory sentence this morning comes from Psalm 96:7-8. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His court. Will the ushers please come forth?
You may be seated.
You may be seated as I follow the steps. Now we know where Jesse gets it from. Okay. The scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah 52, 13 through 15, and Isaiah 53. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of God for the people of God.
And thanks be to God.
We'll turn your hymnal to 202, Amazing Grace. Let's sing the first, the second, and the fourth.
I have already come.
Have you thought about or much about how really amazing it is that Christ died for us?
Need some assistance.
That's because, well, He died for us because we are so important to Him, or our salvation is so very important to Him. How important was it? How important is it? He didn't think much of himself. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about a young man. An average human being. A young human being. He had been told that he wasn't any good, and he had heard it so many times that he came to believe it. And then there was a girl. Her situation was so similar to his, she never really felt wanted. She had been abandoned by her father at a very young age. She had never really felt wanted except when she was asked to take care of her younger siblings. She was so important then. And this situation is played out over and over and over every day. Because so many people do not think that anyone cares for them. And they don't think that Jesus cares for them. They don't know that Jesus cares for them. And there are so many. Not only teenagers, though. Not only children. There are so many adults and teenagers and children who do not even know who Jesus is. They think he's a ball player from a Latin-speaking country. They don't know that he's the Savior of the world. But there's one who is the Savior named Jesus. It's our job to share Jesus. To make sure that the young boy knows who Jesus is, that the young girl knows who Jesus is. Allie, would you and Jesse and Jessica go to the back by the lamp nearest the door that we come in most often and pick up some little pieces of paper and make sure that everyone has one? Our character has changed to challenge us to be involved in helping the world. Those who do not know Jesus as their Savior, don't even know Jesus, and especially do not know Him as their Savior and Lord, to come to know Him. I know you may have heard this for 4 weeks and you say, is it going to keep on? Well, I feel compelled to. And this Ron Johnson, we may be tired of him, but look at What's this girl's name? Marge? Marlene. I was close. Marlene. Marlene also got busy and invited people to come to hear the gospel preached, to hear about Jesus, come to their church. And Ron did a great job, but I think if you compare the two, you'll find that Marlene's response was even better than Ron's. And I think all of you have been introduced to Ron, haven't you? A couple of weeks in January, we told this story of witnessing. And just think about it, and then flip over on the back. And do you know one child, one teenager, one adult, one senior citizen that doesn't believe that anyone cares for them? One that doesn't know that Jesus cares for them because they don't know who Jesus is. And if you know Jesus, you who know Jesus, you know something about Him even being here this morning. If you don't know enough to share Jesus with someone else, just give them a gospel of John. Or give them a gospel of Mark. Or give them a whole New Testament. Or if you've had a saving experience, you who have had a saving experience with Jesus, just see if you can get an audience to share that with them. Let's think about how much Jesus cares for us and or how important we are to Jesus and how much He wants us to be freed of sin and made ready to enter into heaven when this life is over. But to begin a relationship in this life, as someone has called it, a full and meaningful life, or one version of the Bible calls it an abundant life, where Jesus came and said that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And someone translated this, we could have a life, Jesus came that we could have a life that is full. And you may say, my life is so full, where else could I put anything else in it? But He also full and meaningful. Not just full with activity, but full with meaningful tasks, relationships, responsibilities, and jobs. We live in a dangerous world, do we not? Most every time I leave my house, my wife will say to me, hopefully it's because she cares for me, be careful. And sometimes, you know, after 39 years of hearing this three or four times a day, and because I leave three or four times a day, and I want to say, no, I'm going to go out and pull out in front of a big truck. Because she said it over and over and over. But I say the same thing to her. Drive careful. Watch for the big trucks. Watch for the cars in front of you. So there's a lot of physical dangers. Almost every morning, if you turn on the radio or the TV, you'll hear of a shooting. A physical danger. And they're getting closer and closer to us. They're easing down or maybe rapidly running down Nolensville Road toward safe, little, secure Nolensville. I think Bradford Hills last week. But there are also many spiritual dangers mixed in with these robberies and shootings and food poisonings and all of that. They're not so noticeable. They don't get on the newspaper, in the newspaper or on the TV screen, but they're even more dangerous. These spiritual dangers. And we face them every day. Peter spoke of an enemy. An enemy. And he called this enemy, referred to him as a roaring lion. That the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, to eat up, to consume, to capture, to destroy. And that's what evil does. It destroys. He came in the form of a serpent. The devil did. He came in the form of a serpent to Adam and Eve. He came, just referred to as the devil or Satan, when he came to Jesus in the wilderness. And if he would go to the Son of God and try to pull him away, God himself in the flesh, and to get him to turn against good and righteousness and truth and God, we should be much aware that he's going to come to us also. He is ever present, or so it seems. I believe that the scriptures would bear that out. And God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, again a reference to a lion, saying that even among Israel's prophets there was a conspiracy like a roaring lion. So it's almost like Jesus referred to sheep. Oh, you think they're sheep, but they're really wolves in sheep's clothing, coming to devour or capture or lead astray or lead away from God. All of us who are subject to being led away. Said even among the prophets of old, there was a conspiracy like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people. And it goes on to talk about devouring widows and others. But there is good news. There is good news. Jesus came to save those who are lost in a dangerous world. Jesus came to save those who are lost in a dangerous world. Jesus came to rescue us. And we can only, we only have to go back to John 3:16. We only have to go back to John 3:16 and see that Jesus came to rescue us from a dangerous world. God loved us so much. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to rescue us from death, destruction, perishing, separation from God. He rescued us and brings us into the fellowship of God. Jesus came to seek out the lost and to save those who would believe in him. And he still offers that offer, or issues that offer even today. To those who believe, he gives the right or the privilege to become the children of God. And he sends us back to the witnessing part. It's not just for us to grasp and hold on to. He sends us with the truth, with his message. He sends people who believe and are children of God to tell other people, as Marlene did, as Ron did, and then those that they witnessed to. See, Marlene didn't do all of the witnessing. Ron, I believe we observed that he only witnessed to one person. But it started from there. He planted a seed and it grew and it grew. It sprouted and grew and went out through the community. He sends us to tell other people about Him, who He is, and what He has done for us. That He has offered and still offers salvation to all, so that they might hear. He sends us to tell so that they might hear and believe and become children of God, and in turn go themselves and share, maybe in their own household, maybe in their own workplace, maybe in the classroom or in the break between the class, maybe on the parking lot, at work, at school, or maybe in the church setting also. Jude saw our going, our witness, the going of believers as going out with the message of Jesus, so important. And he said to us in Jude chapter 1, is one chapter, verse 23, be merciful to those who doubt. Don't be mad at people because they doubt. Be merciful to them. Pray for them. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear. How much Jesus cares? How important are we to Jesus? How important? What did He do? What lengths did He go to see that we would have forgiveness and eternal life? John 14 tells of Him leaving heaven. If I was in heaven, would I want to leave? Wow. If you was living in a mansion, would you like to move into Casey Holmes? University courts? And the greatest mansion on earth is not anything compared to heaven. Can you see Jesus leaving heaven and coming to earth? Why? To rescue us. To pay for our sin. He suffered for us. He bled for us. He died for us. To pay for our sin. And that's where Isaiah 53 comes in. And if you'll take Isaiah 53 and look at it and just point out or notice the times it mentions suffering, rejection. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53, He was despised. He was rejected. He was familiar with suffering. He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced. Pierced. Not in His earlobe. He was pierced through His side with a spear, a javelin, and blood and water issued forth because He loves us. For our transgressions, He was crushed. For our iniquities, He was punished. And then by His wounds, we are healed. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. One person. One human being. And the Lord took all the sin of all the world and laid it on Him. Is that care? Is that care? Does that move us? Does that speak to us? Laid on Him the sin of us all. Like a lamb led to the slaughter. He was stricken assigned a grave with the wicked, not even an honorable burial. Crushed. The Lord crushed him and caused him to suffer. It was the Lord's will. And after the suffering, verse 11, after the suffering, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And then, next to the last line, he bore the sins of many. And the result of sin is death. He died for sin. We may have glorified death too much with the funeral parlor and the beautiful casket. And he looks so good, or she looks so good. Even while they're asleep, we put the spectacles on them. And somebody says, does anybody sleep with their spectacles on? And I say, yeah, I do. Forget to take them off sometimes. Who made intercession for the transgressors. Who are the transgressors? Those who transgress the law of God. The sinners. You. And me. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes of praying that the believers would know, or that they would grasp, how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ. But then Fanny Crosby came by and wrote a song, or came along and wrote a song, and she wrote of Jesus hiding our life, hiding our dirty life in the depths of His love. I think these verses tell about the depths of His love. Satan came to destroy. Jesus came to save, or to free us from Satan. Our witnessing. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, or have the same mind as Christ. Willing to give up heaven and become a servant and become humble himself even to death on the cross, that we might become sons of God through our belief. As we come to the table, or as we are served from the table, one thing that it's been heavy on my heart, that this not be merely a morsel of bread that we partake, that it not be merely a cup of juice that we drink, but let it be that reminder of a body broken for us and of blood shed for us, paying for our sin. Let us remember what Jesus did for us and for those that He sends us to. Let's pray. Lord God, take this word and bless it and use it and bless us as we come to the table. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite Melanie and Louise and Louis and Mike and Teresa, Justice, and David Schuler. I believe the words from Isaiah speak sufficiently of what Christ has done for us and what is represented here at this table. We remember that on the night He was betrayed, Jesus met with His disciples, took the bread and blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, saying it was His body, broken for them, and the cup. He offered it to them. This is my blood, shed for the remission of sin. Drink from it, all of you.
You're trusting Jesus. Join us as we eat and drink, remembering His death. But also remember that He didn't remain in the grave, that He overcame death, the grave, was raised to new life, and lived forevermore, waiting for us, compelling us, calling us to join Him in heaven. Lord God, bless this bread. Make it for us a reminder that would humble us, strengthen us spiritually, and motivate us to be better witnesses for You. In Jesus' name. His body broken for you. The cup, O Lord, we do thank You. We praise You. Bless this cup, Lord. We know it's simply the fruit of the vine. But what a reminder. And Lord, the event, the experience that it reminds us of. Blood shed to take our sins away. Thank You. Blood of Christ shed for you. Please serve the people. think the song is 185, and let's sing 1 and 4. Would you stand together? And if your response this morning happens to be public, I'll meet you here in the altar and share it with you.
there this week, Gary.
Yes, sir, Doc.
Yes, I did it for somebody else, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.